Okay, the lines are now merged.
Okay, great. This is David Corus, Board Chair. It's 12:01 p.m. We're going to call the meeting to order with a roll call in no particular order. I am obviously present. Grant Westerson.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Doug DeLina.
Here.
Thanks. Brian Thompson.
I am here.
All right. Paul Waitsgarber.
Here.
Great. John Johnson.
Here, David.
Kathy Labonte.
Felix Reyes. Felix?
I'm here.
Great. Tom Gill?
Here.
Okay. Paul Hinch?
Here.
Super. John Carter? Tom Patton? Alexandra Daum. Chuck Roman. Dave Perillo. And Mayor Elliker. Okay. With 9 present, we are at quorum, and we'll move on to public comment. We do not have any meeting minutes to approve because this is not a regularly scheduled meeting. It's a special meeting, so we will approve minutes from our last regular meeting and this special meeting at our regular meeting in October. So moving on to public comment, anyone who wishes to speak, please remember to press *6 and state your name, and please feel free to do so at this time.
Kevin Blacker, I'd like to make public comment.
Yep, go right ahead, Mr. Blacker.
So as was reported by the day, I've seen a copy of the letter from the Longshoremen's Union, expressing some real concern and dissatisfaction about the way they're being treated. I had heard that there was some, potential negotiations or discussions that were going to happen in anticipation of the protest, that they have planned for tomorrow at lunch, hoping they'll update the public and the board on that, or that there be some discussion of that. Sat in on the Finance Committee meeting, there was stated that there was no external legal expenses. David Corus continues to kind of point to that as an indication that there's nothing going on with these federal and state attorney general investigations. It's obvious that those organizations, the feds asked for everything. They asked for everything you had. They got everything you had. And now they're building their case. There's no possible way that $800,000 no-bid contracts and an absolute snafu like the one you guys are running unfolds, that ethics violations over and over and over result in fines, and that there's not an investigation roaring when a project goes from $93 million to, whatever it is you guys say it is now, $300 million, it's going to go higher. So that's a fallacy that, the lack of current movement, is an indication that those investigations have closed or are not active. Want to put on the board's radar, you're going to have further, your organization is going to be exposed to further external expenses. I have retained a lawyer and intend to, have that lawyer. It's one of the best lawyers, one of the best defense lawyers in the state, Richard Silverstein. Intend to subpoena David Corus, among others. And, that's going to result in additional external legal expenses, which you guys should begin to prepare for. There needs to be some discussion, whether it happens today or at another time, of what the impact of the offshore wind industry tanking is going to have on the Port of New London. New London was designed specifically for offshore wind. You guys can try and spin this fairy tale and this false narrative that this specialized port is going to be good at a variety of cargoes, but it was a specialized port. Just going to continue over and over and over, to your obvious chagrin, to tell you guys that you're wrong, what you're doing is wrong, you're using bad judgment, and it's going to get you guys. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Great, thanks. Any other members of the public wish to speak at this time? Remember to press *6 to unmute your line, state your name, and you're welcome to do so. *6 to unmute your line. Okay, hearing none, I will move on to the next item on the agenda, which is a Finance Committee update. We held a meeting this morning at 10 o'clock, our regularly scheduled meeting. We went through our financial update going through this past month, and I'll just say generally that our finances are in probably the better shape than they've ever been in. We've got regular revenue now coming in significant from the port in New London. And we're managing our costs effectively and projecting a significant surplus, and nothing has changed since the start of the fiscal year. One thing that was acted on at the committee today was a recommendation to the full board to approve our quarterly report to the Office of Fiscal Analysis. I want to commend Fayola, who's been our interim finance director, for the quality of that reporting. I think we have information in a more comprehensive and thorough and digestible way than we've probably ever had before. And so with that, I will entertain a motion to approve the quarterly OFA report. And once we have a second, we can have any discussion or questions that folks may have. But this was recommended by the committee. So is there a motion to approve the Q4 FY23 quarterly report to the Office of Fiscal Analysis?
I'll make that motion, David.
What about John? Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Second by Grant. Any questions, comments, discussion? We discussed it quite in depth at the committee meeting, but if there's anything that anyone who wasn't at that meeting wants to raise, certainly don't hesitate to do so. Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Moving on to the next item, Audit, Compliance, and Governance Committee. So Tom was not able to be here today. He chaired that committee meeting. We had a special meeting of that committee on Friday, September 1st, to discuss what is really the primary reason of us having this special meeting today, which is advancing the contract for our outside auditor. And so in Tom's absence, Ulysses, I will hand it over to you to talk about the selection process and what was recommended by the committee 2 weeks ago.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone. In accordance with the authority's operating procedures, we undertook the process of selecting an auditor for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2023. We followed the guidelines as outlined in our procurement manual regarding the RFP selection process and formed a screening working group. That screening working group consisted of our chair of the Audit and Governance Committee, Tom Patton, also Kim Kennison from the Office of Policy and Management, and myself. We invited five audit firms to actually apply. These firms were selected from a list of auditors registered on the state's Department of Administrative Services website and list. The vendors invited were Clifton Larson Allen, Cone Resnick, Markham, KPMG, Whittlesey, and three of the five firms responded. Those three firms that responded were Cone Resnick, Markham, and Whittlesey. Two shortlisted vendors were invited after interviews, four virtual interviews on August 14th. The audit firms that were invited were Cone Resnick and Markham. After due process, the screening group nominated Cone Resnick as auditors to conduct the CPA's audit for fiscal year ended June 30, and we are making that recommendation, and the committee made that recommendation to the board. This process, I might add, though, was supervised and documented by Faye Haynes, our temporary financial manager, and I must say the documentation of this is excellent. So I just wanted to let you know that this is our first procurement and major procurement, but in terms of following the procedures of our procurement manual as well as our operating procedures,
you're welcome.
That was all supervised very well.
You're welcome. Okay, have a good one.
I can folks just remember to keep their line on mute if they're not talking at that time. Okay, Ulysses, anything else you want to add?
No, that is the sum and substance,
Great.
Mr. Chairman.
Great. Appreciate it. Yeah, so as Ulysses said, you know, first process with our new procurement policies being enacted. The committee recommended the endorsement of, or endorsed, I guess you could say, the outcome of that process, which was the selection of Cone Resnick. And so I will entertain a motion in a second, and then we can have any discussion. Resolved that the executive director, being hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the authority to negotiate, execute, and deliver an agreement with Cone Resnick LLC for audit services for the year ended June 30th, 2023, and as recommended by the Audit Compliance and Governance Committee. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, Tom Gill.
Moved by Tom, seconded by Paul. Any questions, comments, or discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Okay, next item on the agenda, HR committee update. And I will hand it over to Brian Thompson, chair of that committee, to walk us through the outcome of this morning's meeting of that committee, which occurred at 11 o'clock.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The HR committee met this morning and considered a proposal for modifying the schedule of positions to add a position of Maritime Business Development Manager. And in your meeting materials for the board meeting today, you had been provided with an updated proposed schedule of positions and a proposed job description. So the committee discussed those and agreed on some amendment to that. So I think, Ulysses, perhaps you could explain the position to the board and what your objectives are with that position.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes. And I can also update the board with respect to some of the staffing that's been taking place over the course of the past few months. We hired, as you recall, an administrative assistant who completed her tour on September 1. And that worked out very, very well for us in the interim. We also hired a temporary finance manager in Fayola Haynes. That took place also in July, on July 10. We also now have on board an office manager that we hired on August the 30th. You've already received a number of communications from her. Her name is Jill Dowling Moreno, and we welcome her as well to the team. We're in the process now also of completing, if you will, the hiring of a finance director. Those interviews are now in the final stages, and hopefully over the course of the next couple of weeks, that process will conclude as well. Today, we're recommending an update to the, as Brian indicated, an update to the schedule of positions for a maritime business development manager that will hopefully also give us the kind of redundancy that we need at the managerial level in several areas of responsibility. We have also, and many of you have just received an updated job description of the Maritime Business Development Manager as a result of the discussions that we took, that just took place just a few minutes ago with the HR committee. You have that before you. It's being recommended by the HR committee. And the idea also is to have this position implemented, if you will, at a time when the CPA can actually afford the position. And so we have already looked at the affordability of the position. It is pegged right now at between $75,000 and $100,000 in terms of salary range. We have done the analysis in terms of whether, in fact, we can accommodate at the high end of this particular range, and we can. And so I just wanted to make sure that you knew also that the analysis has been done from a budgetary standpoint as well. When it comes to the level of responsibilities that this person would be responsible for, the prime responsibility will be the marketing of our harbors and our ports, our deep water ports and our harbors. It will be the responsibility to also, and when it comes to promoting and marketing the maritime economic development of the CPA and our ports, those will be the primary responsibilities. Some of the secondary responsibilities also might be, though, the ship programs, and that is making sure that when it comes to working with our municipalities, this person will also be marketing and also working with the administration of the ship program. When it comes to federal grants and also policies that and initiatives that deal with, in any way, with the maritime and marine economy, this person would be responsible for that. Person will serve also as the CPA's Chief Marketing, Communications, and Business Economic Development Officer, and also assist and provide support to the Executive Director as needed when it comes to any other responsibilities, so that we also have some redundancy and that's created also within the organization. So that is kind of a summary of what we are proposing at this point in time. It was thoroughly vetted by the HR committee this morning, as the chair just indicated. And so I send it back to you, Mr. Chairman, Brian Thompson, for presenting, if you will, this to the rest of the committee.
All right. Thank you, Ulysses. So I do want to note that the original version provided to you, in addition to the marketing and business development responsibilities, included administration of the Small Harbor Improvement Projects Program and also support to the pilot commission and oversight and implementation of dredging studies and projects. And the committee had considerable discussion around those duties and has made the recommendation to remove or amend the proposal to remove the references to the pilot commission and the dredging studies and projects specifically, and instead include a as a responsibility that the position will assist and provide support to the executive director as needed. So just wanted to make sure folks are clear on that. If you had read the earlier version. So what the committee has did vote to approve making a recommendation to the board of the amended job description and schedule of positions as Ulysses described. So are there questions for Ulysses or any member of the committee regarding that?
Yeah, this is Paul Weisgarber. Just is there any clarification on the program manager piece? Because I know that the temporary position with DOT, was there any discussion on changing that or keeping it? Or I know that that's been a part of the CPA for quite a while.
Yes, just to give you an update in that area, the Department of Transportation has also placed on loan to us another program manager who has now been on board, I would say now for almost 2 weeks. And her name is Kathy Labonte, and she has 34 years of experience in construction management. And so she is assisting us right now in the day-to-day oversight and on-site supervision of the project. So that particular position has now been addressed by DOT and the CPA.
Paul, this is David. I think you're asking about two things. One is the interim situation, which, as Ulysses described, we have new support from DOT to get us through the end of the construction project. And then the intent is with this position that many of the functions that were performed by our DOT support will be rolled into our own staff. And so this position in some ways, as well as the executive director in other ways, supplants that DOT support position over the medium and long term. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it was the latter part that I was trying to get at. Because
yeah.
I just, having been there for a couple of months, I just think it would be better for the CPA not to have a DOT representative there, but to groom someone in that role that's not associated with DOT.
Yeah, that's what this action moves us towards.
Yep, thanks.
Other questions or discussion on that proposal? All right, so I don't know, hearing none, David, do you want to take that to a vote?
Yeah, sure. So resolved that the Board of Directors hereby approves the adoption of an annual schedule of positions and total staffing levels for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2024, as outlined in Section 5 of the Authority's Operating Procedures as described in the exhibits to Agenda Item Number 5. And we will have to do this again, next spring, as we do annually. Is there a motion to approve the amended schedule of positions?
I'll approve that. I'll make that motion.
Grant. Thank you. Is there a
second? I'll second. Yeah,
great.
Paul.
Second by
second.
Paul. Yep. Any comments, discussions, or further questions? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Great. I've got just a couple quick things I want to mention in old business before we move on to adjournment. So one thing is related to workforce training. You know, we've discussed several times over the past several years ILA labor and the need for training on new equipment as the port moves into new cargo types. There was a reference made in public comment about a potential action taking place at the port. I don't have any, you know, detail on that, but can say that there are, you know, ongoing conversations between most particularly the ILA and Ørsted around the activities there. Gateway is involved in those conversations, of course, given their commitment to use ILA labor for their port activities. We have been in those conversations, and I just raise it most particularly to say that I plan on coming back to you all at the next meeting with a request to make a budget amendment to allocate some of our own funding towards that training program. We have an ample projected surplus, but I just wanted you to make you all aware that, you know, we are in those conversations, and I think it's appropriate for us to contribute some of our own resources towards ILA training, and so you'll see something on that probably at our next meeting. Any questions or comments on that before I raise my other item? Okay, and then the only other thing I want to mention, which I mentioned to you all in a very brief email, you know, over the last several years, there's obviously been a lot of conversations about, you know, the structure of the Port Authority, the future of the Port Authority. I think we should all be very proud of where we are today with our policies and procedures now being implemented, as was demonstrated by the procurement described today. We're in a very good fiscal position for the long term. But we remain a very small organization with a lot of obligations and a lot of regulatory, regimes within which we need to comply. And so I think there does still remain questions about the best structure for us over the long term. Without, you know, having a strong position today and certainly not endorsing it, one of those options that has been discussed over the years, as you'll recall, is some sort of a partnership with the Airport Authority, which has some commonality and a much larger infrastructure on which that we may be able to rely. I just want to raise that because it's my understanding that the Airport Authority might discuss it tomorrow. I don't want it to be a surprise to anyone on this board, which is why I raised it previously. I don't want it to be a surprise to anyone in the public. Many conversations will certainly have to take place, and there's a lot of details that would need to be worked out if we conclude that that's the best option. But I do want to make sure folks are aware that that conversation may take place tomorrow, or at least the start of that conversation. And it's, it's the next step on a much bigger conversation that we've all been having for many years about the best way to structure our organization and this authority for future success. Any comments or questions on that? I don't have any details. There's really no details to discuss, but I don't want it to be a surprise.
David, is there any need for you to attend that meeting of the Airport Authority?
That's a great question. You know, I may, or certainly Ulysses may, or I would definitely not discourage you all from participating in as as listeners. I haven't been invited to the meeting. I don't know that I'm even, frankly, prepared to have any type of a formal discussion. My understanding is that this is just a very initial broaching to even see if there's an appetite on their part to discuss it at which point in time we need to see if there's an appetite on our part, and then have those conversations. So I don't expect to play any role in the conversation, but any one of us may want to listen in just to kind of hear their perspective.
Yeah, this is Paul again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to add, there is examples of where port authorities do include air, water, and road points of entry, and that would be the New Jersey, New York Port Authority. They kind of control all of that. So, there is examples out there where it's all in one. I just want to point that out.
Yeah.
Hey, David, Grant?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Could Ulysses disseminate the phone number or whatever for listening into that meeting?
Absolutely.
I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, I think, I think we all share the objective of finding a way for us to be as effective as possible in achieving our mission and have the resource and capacity to be able to do so in a way that, we can focus on that. I think we all know the ways in which we've been distracted over the last several years in trying to, put the foundational, policies and procedures and financial reporting, et cetera, in place, that maybe didn't occur to the extent in which it should have at the outset. I think, as I said, we should all be proud of the fact that I think we've done that. We've done that over the last few years. And so now we need to make a decision about what we can best do to maximize our success going forward. And this is just, one option towards that aim. And we'll hear what they have to say. Any other questions or comments before I entertain a motion to adjourn? Cool. Well, thanks everyone coming together for a special meeting. We really wanted to get that the audit service advanced, and glad we were able to also take care of the OFA report and the schedule positions so that Ulysses can move those forward as well. So with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved, David.
Moved by John. Is there a second?
Second, Tom.
Second by Tom Gill. Thank you all. Thanks for being quick and efficient. Have a great rest of your day.